I don't know why. We had the best open ever, and we didn't have the mics on.
Well, it's just that.
We literally just said, what are we going to talk about? And then you said something, and it was beautiful.
Well, okay, so we're at Thomas's house, a.k.a. The Nest. And Thomas, on his mantle, has this blue coffee mug with these orange flowers in it that he grew, right? Did you grow these?
I know what we're going to talk about now. I just remembered. Yes, I grew these.
And they're totally withered and dead. And I was stating that because last time when we recorded, they looked so pretty and so awesome. And they look so hilarious and ridiculous right now. And I was saying that they look like the every now and then on SpongeBob, you're watching it and they'll have like a zoomed in, really highly detailed painting that's really gross looking. That's exactly what they look like.
So this is amazing. I cut them off last Sunday.
Yeah.
So 8 days, this is Monday, yeah. 8 days ago. And literally up until when I woke up yesterday morning at 7 o'clock, or Sunday morning at 7 o'clock to have some coffee, they looked perfect when I went to bed at 12:30 Saturday night. And then when I woke up, I was like, whoa, did they get struck by lightning or something?
They were thriving.
And I haven't thrown them out yet. I don't know.
They look so terrible.
They remind me what I wanted to talk about.
Okay, go ahead.
Queen Elizabeth flew away.
Oh, man. She...
Well, he.
Well, he. Yeah.
We. Freddie Mercury, as you started calling him. That's the longest wheeze you've ever done. You sounded like Potsy.
Oh. We've been calling his caterpillar Queen Elizabeth for her entire life until she/he went into a chrysalis and then emerged as a butterfly. Really cool. I mean, just gorgeous. But,
yeah,
and then we realized it was actually a male.
Yeah, I'm like emotional thinking about it right now. It was one of the, I don't know.
It's one of the greatest achievements of your life, wasn't it?
It's just like, okay, can I tell you about it?
Yeah, just go.
I mean, we've said this before. I planted something specifically for something to happen.
The entire garden was specifically for this thing to happen.
Yeah, but specifically, I have 6 plants in there designed for monarchs. Because they only lay their eggs, and the caterpillars only eat the leaves of these plants, right?
Right.
And I thought, all summer I waited and waited and waited, and like, not, you know, and then finally I found, and then like, this thing happened where I like raised Queenie, aka Freddie, and I'm talking about a pet caterpillar. Gosh. I'm so glad I have a girlfriend, otherwise.
It's also the shortest amount of time that anybody's ever had a pet.
Yeah, 1 month. I had a pet for 1 month. I did, but that's ideal for me. Like,
honestly, Charlie Mishler has a hamster, and when he holds the hamster...
He's a first grader, by the way.
You, like, the whole time, you're like, you're surprised that he's made it past a month.
Like, because he's like juggling it.
Yeah, he like
pulls
holds
a baseball bat out of his pocket,
pretty tight,
tosses it up.
Yeah. Just takes BP on Hamsty. That's the hamster's name, by the way. Hamsty.
Are you currently watching Hamsty still?
No.
Oh, Lee has a rabbit and hamster.
I don't. Oh. We have a rabbit in our house. And then I babysat Hamsty for the weekend so they could go camping.
So Queenie.
Yeah. A.K.A. Freddy.
Was in her chrysalis. And then like one night I was going to bed and I was like, wow, that thing looks clearer than normal. And the next morning it was completely see-through. You could see her. I like went to the gym, got some lunch or something, met somebody, and then yeah, came back, and there he was, just sitting in the cage as a butterfly.
It was amazing how bright the colors of his wings were.
He's unbelievable. If you want a picture, so I like, they say wait 4 hours or so the wings can completely inflate and dry, and they also say your whole life you've heard don't touch butterfly wings, right?
Yeah.
Monarchs, they say it's fine, touch them. Because those things are designed to fly across the continent. They're fine.
How do they know, though? Like, how did a monarch tell a scientist, like, everybody else struggle, bust, but you can touch our wings. It's totally cool.
I guess it's so but I didn't touch her. I just took it outside and he flew off. And then it was crazy. I like watched him for a while and he flew and landed on one of those flowers. That I planted from a seed.
Are you going to weep right now?
Well, that's what did it for me. I was like, what? This whole thing, like a little seed that grew into like a 10-foot tall flower. Have you seen those things out there?
Yeah,
holy
yeah,
cow.
Yeah. Bonkers.
And he stayed there like all evening, just like getting some nectar and stuff. And I took so many videos. I felt like such people. I live on one of the busiest streets in Oak Ridge, and people are like, "What is this guy doing?" Gosh, I'm like the yeah.
Why is this very tall grown man taking videos of these very tall flowers?
Gosh, why is he? He just stares at his flowers all the time. Every time I drive by at 5 o'clock when it's the busiest, this man is just standing in his garden.
So it, she slash he, like the next stop is Mexico, right? Just like,
Hard to say. I don't know about this wave of monarchs. I don't know if the ones in October make it.
Wow,
it's a generational thing. I really don't know. I would love to know because it takes a few generations for the travel. And I just got a phone call. I'm not going to accept it. Sorry. Sorry, Nick. But I don't know. It's a generational thing, but there's a, like, have you ever like watched the video on what it looks like in Mexico when they get there?
No.
It is unbelievable.
Are there a lot of them?
Millions. But like, it's, I, this figure is way wrong, but it's down a giant percentage. Like, and it happened like over a couple years.
The word giant is not a figure. Like, I love that you say this figure is way wrong. They're down a giant percentage.
I'm going to look this up really quick. But it was like, they're in like a...
It's not a mathematical summary of what's actually happening. We don't have...
They like go to like a protected area. Like people can't, you can't go to where they land. Like it's like,
nice.
It's like a national park, but you're not allowed to go back there. So like, you know, they let camera crews.
We don't even know what's happening back there. They could be throwing parties.
The population of monarch butterflies in California has decreased 86% since 2017.
That is a giant
2017.
That's a huge percent.
That's crazy.
Well, now I'm sad.
That's just what will winter there. Is that nuts?
Do we all need to grow milkweed?
Yes. What are we doing? Quit pesticiding. Quit. Plant flowers. But you need to plant other flowers too.
This is the hypest Thomas gets about anything. Like, this is the most up you get.
Why did I? This is like, I had like a 15 minute conversation today with one of our friends who is working on his PhD in like he's studying the Appalachian brook trout,
right,
which is one of the most beautiful fish in the world.
Clearly.
And it's one of those things where I graduated college and I was like, wait, I could have done study that.
Yeah, I felt that same thing too, realizing all the things I would have studied had I known anything.
Yes.
You know, in 1998 when I went to college.
I think I chose not to know about those things.
It's probably true. Welcome to Ancient and New. This is a Bible study podcast. We're going to talk about some scriptures and... I don't know who should go, because I think we just did one thing last time, right?
Sure. I don't care to go first.
I don't know what that means. Like, I don't know if that means you want to go first or don't want to go first.
I think it clearly means that
I don't care.
I wouldn't mind if I went first.
I don't care to. Could, like, in my mind, that could go
either
way.
You're riding the fence right there. It could.
Yeah. I don't care to go first.
I think it's like, all about the inflection. I think everyone who's listening knew that I meant I'd like to go first.
Well...
Or, like, I don't mind to go first.
I think if we took a poll, I'm still confused. Are you wanting to go first?
I'm saying I don't really care. It doesn't matter to me.
See, so now that's a totally different information.
No, this, I mean, like, listen. I assumed I'd go first because usually I go first.
Wait, it's usual?
Yeah, I would love to know the statistics.
Why don't I kick us off today?
I think it's 72%. I think the population, 86% of the time.
This is from Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8, he's talking about the priests of old school Israel and how they all came from, like, Israel was, all their families were divided up into tribes based on the sons of Jacob. Mm. And all of the priests came from the tribe of Levi, because that's the tribe that Aaron and Moses were from.
Okay.
And God made Aaron the... Exactly. The nepotism of Moses being the leader and his brother gets to be the high priest. And so all of the priests were Levites. And it's actually because the tribe of Levi stood up and kicked some booty when some booty needed to be kicked. It's totally fine.
But it was just like, it was a joke that needed to stay in the past because it was good then. Now it's like, he did it again. He did it again. Why did he do it?
Yeah, now it's a bit from our show.
Sorry, WAP.
Anyway, he's talking about how Jesus is in chapter 7, he was talking about how Jesus is a different kind of high priest,
okay.
Not from the tribe of Levi. Jesus is from the tribe of Judah. And then he kind of continues this theme by saying, and by the way, Jesus is a better high priest. They offered the blood of bulls and goats for the forgiveness of sin. It never could take away sin or anything like that. And
before you read, are you going to talk about Melchizedek at all?
That was chapter 7.
Okay.
I'm probably going to bypass Melchizedek for this part, but Melchizedek, that is a super interesting thing.
I know. I just didn't know if you were going to give us like a little, like a history, because that's a name that pops up a lot and you're like, yeah. Wait a second, what is this? Who is
maybe,
this?
Maybe we'll do that soon.
Yeah, maybe we'll do a things
a
that are like interesting things from the Bible.
Interesting. Okay.
Like a 15 minute, this. Like.
Yeah, I know why you want to do
yeah,
this.
Yeah, you do.
there's a glint in your eye.
We'll
right
do
there.
One of those like Tuesday releases. That's just like a, hey, we just happen to be driving
hey,
across
did you
town.
Know this?
Let's talk about, did you know this is in here?
Did you know this is in the Bible? That could get pretty wacky pretty quick.
Real quick.
In any case.
What just came out?
So these are some scattered verses from Hebrews chapter 8. He's talking about the sanctuary, the temple, the tabernacle, all those sacrifices went down. And he says, but the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he is the mediator is superior to the old one. And it's founded on better promises.
Ooh.
This is such a cool verse. Basically he's saying like, okay, the old covenant, which a covenant is just like a deal. Like I'll make a deal with you. You and I, we're going to sign this contract, make this deal. This is how our relationship's going to work.
Okay.
The old covenant was God freed them from slavery in Egypt. You guys are my people. And here are the 10 commandments and will you keep them? And all the people are like, yes, we will keep them. Awesome. Here's the whole book of the law. Will you keep it? Yes, we will keep it. They never did at all. So they had to sacrifice animals to cover their sin. This whole awful thing. None of it ever really cleared them, forgave them, or cleansed their conscience or anything like that. And they always had this funky relationship with God. And it's like, our relationship is based on you're supposed to follow these rules. And if you don't, then all this blood has to be spilled and everything. And so that was the old covenant. And then Jesus comes along and he is the mediator of a new covenant.
Mm.
The night that the night of the Last Supper, when he pours, you know, he lifts up the cup of wine and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. And he's like, I'm making a new deal with y'all. And the new deal is I pay for everything. You don't have to promise to be amazing or anything like that. You just get to be in a relationship with me for free. That's the new covenant. Jesus pays for everything. And we just get to accept everything for free, forgiveness and righteousness and all of it. And I just love the way that when he compares Jesus's ministry and Jesus's covenant to the old ministry and the old covenant, he says it's superior to the old one, because it's founded on better promises.
Hmm.
Like that is just such a cool thing. I think that the old one is founded on, I'm trying to make promises to God. Like, I'm going to try to be this awesome person. I'm going to try to impress you. I'm going to try to live up to this thing and I'm going to do my darndest. I'm going to grit my teeth and everything. And even though most everybody that probably listens to this show, I mean, you understand the gospel, you understand the free good news of grace and everything. And yet, how many times do we find ourselves falling back into that old way of thinking?
Right.
Of like, I gotta impress God. I gotta show him how amazing I can be. It's just these are the old promises. You know, this is the old thing is I'm gonna promise to be amazing. And that Jesus has this ministry that is better. At the very end of that chapter, and by the way, this is the chapter where whoever wrote the book of Hebrews, maybe it was a woman. We don't even know who wrote this book. There's another little interesting tidbit we could throw into that episode.
A lot of people say it's Paul. But
some people say it's Paul. We don't know who wrote it though.
Our boss says it's Paul.
He quotes this thing from Jeremiah and it's where God promises in the new covenant to remember their sin no more, which is just like beautiful. He says, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. And then the author of Hebrews takes back over and says, by calling this covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete, and what is obsolete and aging will soon disappear. And this is just such an encouragement for me that like, I don't have to promise to be amazing. I don't have to be I don't have to keep it all together. We have a new deal, the new deal where Jesus pays for everything. And it's just based on better promises. The promise that we don't have to do anything. We just get to say, thank you. I take it. And that is just such an encouragement, because I think it's so easy to fall back into the other.
It's funny you were talking about the old stuff, and there's still like a little, and then you started to go down the trail, and I you can't see my face if you're listening to this.
Yeah, but you kept smiling and laughing.
I know, because I was like, oh, I'm going to talk about that. And then you'd talk about it. I was like, dang it, I'm not going to talk about it. But there, like, you just went down this a little bit, but there's like embarrassingly in me, like whenever I hear about like the Israelites or whoever it is, there's always a little part of me that's like, I like things to be plotted out for me sometimes. Like,
yeah.
You got to do this, this, and this today. Like, it helps me to see it.
Like ordered deliverables. This is what we expect.
What?
Deliverables. That's like how you organize your week at work. Like, these are the things I have to turn in. This is the things I have to accomplish.
Oh, I had no idea what that was called. But so like that thought, if I'm not careful, will creep into my head, and it's just like, which can lead to me, it can lead to completely polluting my whole walk with the Lord, you know?
Yes.
Like, but so like, it starts out with a like, dang it. I kind of like, every once in a while I have that thought of like, that would have been cool. Like following like a cloud of lightning and voices around in the desert. That seems pretty obvious. And like, you know, it's like saying things and
a
like
giant fiery pillar rising
sure.
to the heavens.
Yeah. It's just like, yeah, that seems, how did we mess that up, guys? Like there it was, like, you know? And I'm like, but then
pretty
I stopped.
It's like, there
yeah.
it is.
But then it's like, oh man, I would have killed a lot of animals. I'm not very good at that.
Yeah.
I have a hard time, you know, whatever. But like, and if I'm not careful, that'll creep in there. And then it is true what you say. This new deal is way better. It's way better to wake up, you know, and to start my day every once in a while by saying, hey, Lord, I've wet the bed in a lot of places. Let me name a few of them. Will you please forgive me? And then
not actually and physically, because you're talking about waking up in your bed, right?
No, now. I had an old baseball coach who would say that if you made an error, he would say, oh, you really wet the bed there.
Hitch the wagon for.
So it wasn't Coach Froning, it was Coach Hendricks. But that, like, so that stuck with me. There's the little history of Thomas. But, you know, it's much, that's a much better deal than to like raise my goat and like walk down to the place and kill a little Billy, you know? And then instead it's like, hey, Lord, I have wet the bed, and here's a few things. Will you forgive me? Yes. Okay, cool. We're good. You know, it's like just on like the, like on a, like a mitochondrial level, that I meant to say microscopic and I said mitochondrial.
The powerhouse of the cell.
Yeah. What is going on today? I skipped lunch, so I think it's really getting to me. But which is good. I'm a lot more peppy now than when we do the whole walk and roll thing.
Dude,
normally I'm
wontons,
asleep.
And I'm feeling great.
Some say they're pronounced wontons. But yeah, it's just like if you were to put them on paper and look at each other, pros and cons. It's
yes,
like
exactly. Thank you. This is exactly where I was hoping
it's
we were going.
It's very lopsided.
Yeah.
And I'm very thankful to live in 2019
right.
and like to be on this side of the deal and to have like an open door policy with the God of the universe. That's pretty bonkers.
Yeah. I mean, like when you think about, I love, you know, the author says his ministry is superior to theirs. And just like his covenant superior to theirs, because it's founded on better promises. It's established on better promises. You think about some of the promises we have, like no one can ever take away your reserved place in heaven. You're already seated in heavenly places in Christ.
Sure.
You have every spiritual blessing that there is in Christ. Like you have been declared as righteous as Christ. Your sin is removed from you as far as the East is from the West, and he has promised to forget it. Like these are just great promises. And it's so easy for us to just fall back into the other thing because we would like to be amazing and impressive, but it is so, so nice just to say, oh man, I'm in the new deal. I'm in the new covenant. And it is so sweet here.
Yeah, whenever I have that thought of I want to be amazing and impressive, I just need to look around the room that we're sitting in. These couches are 30 years old.
These flowers that are just withered and just chilling on your...
flowers are withered.
Just Jay chilling on
the
your
rug, bedroom. My roommate, my former RIP, Devin and I found on a run on the side of the road. And it had a piece of paper stuck to it that said free. So I grabbed it and ran home with it.
You ran with it? It was part of the run?
Yeah.
That's impressive. I didn't know the history of this rug.
Yeah, there's that TV is secondhand. The piano is secondhand. Everything in here is the least impressive thing ever.
You got this really janky lamp from your like great grandmother's house.
Yeah, I've never met that woman. Technically she existed because I'm here, but who's to say? Okay, so I don't have like a big like philosophical thing today. I just have like a, hey, you know that book Ephesians that you've read 2,000 times, but you always forget there's amazing good stuff in there.
Okay.
That's where I came from today. And I just,
Roger that.
I just wanted to share something that I read and I got to remember where I was. Okay. This is from Ephesians chapter 4. It says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them." Okay, so the thing that got me, one, I love, I mean, that's just a clear, there's not a more clear image than light and dark. You know, it's yeah, just, yeah. It's crystal clear. It's, yeah, I thought you just covered your eyes to like prove a point, but you were scratching your eyes because
I'm
you're
yawning
sleeping.
Now yeah, I think yeah. The wontons are getting to me.
Yeah, they're not getting to me. But I love that picture, and the thing that I love the most is that in verse 10 it says, "And find out what pleases the Lord." Mm-hmm. Because if you're someone like me, and it's really easy to start thinking about, you know, like the idea of pleasing someone else sounds like a good thing. And when people say that, they're, you know, it feels like a good thing. Like, yeah, I just want to please them. I want to be happy with me. I want to, you know, like it's not serving. It's no, I want to, whatever it is, you know, I want this. Essentially, you're saying I want this person to like me, right? Like If you interject any other name in there besides the Lord, find out what's pleasing to so-and-so, find out what's pleasing to my mom, to my dad, to whatever. And you're living your life that way. It's very exhausting and It doesn't work and you're not very good at it. And if you're like me, this is coming from someone who does this. And it's like, if I'm not careful, that is how my day is spent. And, yeah, you know, it's like, gosh, what a waste of day to win the approval of other people. And when you sit there and you think about that, find out what pleases the Lord, and you recenter yourself and you think, okay, my job today, I'm living for His smile. That's it. I am trying to win His smile, which is fairly easy to do because He loves me. You know, it's like, I don't have to prove myself to Him. I want to do what's pleasing to Him because He loves me. And it's kind of like a weird circle thing there. You know, it's like, He loves me, therefore He's pretty easy to please. Also, because He loves me, I want to please Him. And, you know, let's do it. It's just, it's someone like me to read that. It is just like, huh, that's really helpful. And it's really simple. Yeah. And it's about 6 words. You know, like, it's just really, it's like, it's an easy thing for me to have in my pocket throughout the day.
Yeah.
And it can be really freeing for someone who struggles with the things that I do.
Yeah, I love that you said it's like a circle because He knows my heart so well. He knows it better than I know it.
Yeah.
And He's more patient than I am. He knows what He's growing in me. He doesn't have any kind of delusion that I am something that I'm not. He knows exactly what I am. He knows exactly what's in my heart, and He has unlimited patience, and He does love me. Because of that, like, if I even point my heart towards the desire to please Him, that's pleasing to Him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that, like, the thing that would please the Lord is if I just grit my teeth and I'm perfectly sinless for the rest of my life, just at everybody. That's not what we're talking about. We're just talking about...
That's a giant waste of time.
We're talking about love. We're talking about a relationship where, right, like, you know, it's like, it's, this is not about rule keeping. It's about like, I want to show you that I love you. If my life changes, if I'm different today or something like that, it's because I love you and I'm expressing, right, that. And, but even, even without the behaving piece, if I just point my heart towards, you know what I want to do today? I want to make you happy because you've been so good to me. That right there is pleasing. It's that, and I love that you describe the circle of that. It's just, you know, I was darkness and now I'm light. And what I want to do is I want to put a smile on his face. He's put a smile on mine. That is a cool way to just to enjoy that relationship. Like, not to be stressed by my relationship with the Lord, but to enjoy it. He loves me. I love him. I want to make him smile. He makes me smile. Let's just love each other.
Yeah. That's what I had.
That's cool.
You're welcome. I mean, maybe I need to eat Chinese food before we do this.
There's no question.
I'm a little too feisty right now. I don't know if I've ever used the word feisty to describe myself. I don't think I ever will again. So that was a rarity.
It's to say, well,
my Bible's dissolving. Look at it.
It is terrible. And now Casey Matheny goes to our church, and so you could just walk up to him at any point and ask him to make you a Bible cover.
Do you think Casey listens to our podcast?
No.
But I don't know why that was so funny. Usually it's like maybe. If we're talking about a celebrity, you're like, probably, yeah, maybe they do. So. Yeah, probably. But Casey Matheny, a friend of ours, the thought of him listening to it immediately prompted a no in you.
Casey Affleck listens to our podcast.
Oh, probably. The third Affleck brother.
Yeah. The second.
Ben, Jeremy, and Casey.
There's a Jeremy?
Probably.
Today's podcast has been brought to you by the Affleck brothers and by the Baldwin brothers and by Monarch Butterflies Everywhere.
I wouldn't know Casey Affleck if he walked in the door.
Dude, he's the one in the Ocean's movies.
There's 11 of them, and then 12, and then 13 of them.
That's a really good point. That's a really good point. You need to go eat some Chinese food. Until next time, I'm Lee.
I'm Thomas.
And this has been HNN New.
Spirit of God, descend upon my heart. Wean it from earth to all its pulses move. Stoop to my weakness, mighty as thou. I ought to love. I ask no dream, no prophet ecstasies, no sudden rending of this veil. Of unanswered prayer. sudden.